Greetings. In the Maker of heaven and earth. Greetings in the Maker of you. I'm glad I get to lift him up. I'm glad that I'm able to have his word and I'm able to expound on it, even though it may not be perfect, but I'm glad it's his word and trust that you will be edified and build up. Let's please stand to our feet and we will commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Don't be afraid to pray also. Please pray. Lord, we do thank you that we can come to you, that you are the maker of heaven and earth. You've established this world. You've created it. You put man on it. You've established a path for them to walk. You've brought the children of Israel to a nation. You've brought a Savior through the nation. Lord, we thank you that there is a place for us as Gentile people to know you and worship you. And not only that, Lord, but we have your word here that guides us to know how to live in this world that we live in. We thank you, Lord. Lord, would you feed your people? That they would be men and women that know how to live in the 21st century, Lord. That your glory would come back to you. And that people would know that you are a living God. So, Lord, minister to the people here. Strengthen them. Edify them through your word. Give me wisdom to know how to lead this, to say it, to bring it out. We thank you that we can commit this time into your hand. We thank you that your Spirit is present. We invite it. We want it. We ask these things now in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as I was praying and pondering of what to share, I usually do that long in advance before I even know exactly when I'm preaching. Even though I'm part of arranging the schedule, I kind of get to know ahead of time when it's coming. As I was pondering what to share the next time it's my turn to share, I was brought to the attention of or something that I feel like the Lord was starting to begin to lay on my heart was the area of where Paul said he would not eat meat if it offends the brother. And so I just, as I studied and prepared for that, I just felt the confirmation to go ahead with that this time. Feel like it's something that's needful for us as a congregation. It's needful for Christians to know how to have that denying reality in their lives for the sake of building the body of Christ. And so, yes, we probably know it. I'd like to just expound on it. I'd like to invite you to know how to apply that to our generation. Let me just ask the question. Actually, I'm going to wait for that. Let's just turn to Romans chapter 14. I'm going to just be going through that. We'll get to that question in a little bit here. I plan on doing it a little differently. I don't plan on necessarily just preaching to you, and yet I will be speaking to you, but I want interaction. I'd like this to be a little bit more of a Bible study forum, a Sunday school forum. I want your input. I want feedback. And we just want to go through chapter 14 and see what God has to say to us here as individuals and as a body. So Romans chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. So him that is weak, what are we to do with him that is weak? Receive him. But what does it mean when it says, but not to doubtful disputation? What's your thoughts when you think of a doubtful disputation?
My side margin says not to judge the doubtful thoughts. Not to judge his doubtful thoughts.
Not to judge his doubtful thoughts. Anybody else? So not to to judge him wrongly, not to so we're to receive him, but not to do it for quarreling, for debating, we're to receive him. Right. Sure. That's right. And so we can go ahead and receive him, but not for the doubtful part. Right. Exactly. Right. I hear you. So we can receive them without having to debate and to actually look down on them. Okay, let's move on to verse 2. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. So to me, there is two parties here. Is that correct? Two camps, two parties. Is that what you're getting when you read verse 2?
Yes.
Two camps. Okay, so when you consider the two camps, what was Paul referring to he was writing to the Roman church. What was he referring to as the two camps? Can we go back into history and what was the issue at the Roman church? Why would Paul do that? What's the issue at the Roman church? Yes.
Most of the meat that was available for sale in the market had been previously offered to idols. And so some people felt like it was wrong to eat that meat because of that.
Right. Okay, so there was meat being offered. There was meat being sold at the market, and often it had connection with idolatry, and so that was the issue. And the other one, okay, so that was the one camp. What's the other camp? You would only eat vegetables. For what reason? Why was he a vegetarian?
Because his conscience forbade him to eat the meat offered to
him. Right. So you have that. Paul also used another illustration, and I was thinking that's probably in Corinthians, where it was also the Gentiles and the Jews. There's two parties there too, but here it seems like it's probably referring to this as far as idolatry versus those that do not want anything or anything that was part of idolatry. Okay, now I'd like to bring it closer to home. Okay, does this Romans chapter 14 have anything to do with us as individuals or a church? Yes. Are there two camps here? Sometimes. Okay. That's Noel's opinion. What about you over here? Yes. Right. Right.
And some of us think the first day. My opinion, I'm not sure of this, I think the coolest argument to get into is that if I were to meet you today, or yesterday, none of you would have been here. But I think the separate thought is that wherever you think you're going to meet, who you're going to meet with, let every man be convinced in his own mind that we're not to be judging another man's service in the context of Jesus Christ is that other man.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's where we're going. But I'd like us to just look at, is it applicable? Are there two camps? Is it something that we need to be looking at? Lyndon. So I didn't say three camps, I said two. You're saying three now. Right. Exactly. And I'm with you, brother. Right. Right. Oh, yeah, you're right. So there's only two camps. So, Romans 14 is needful for the day that you and I live in. I would appreciate if somebody could get me a cup of water. Let's move on to verse 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth, and let not him that which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. So there again, Paul, and I'm so glad that Paul is addressing both sides. Okay, it's not just for this side, and it's not for just that side. God, Paul wants you to get something here. Okay, both camps. He wants both camps to get something. Let me back up a little bit to verse 2. Let me just ask another question here. What are some names that we like to put to these two camps? Liberal or conservative? That's what I was thinking. Anybody else? Any other names? Sounds you all like you are thinking like me. Not that I'm significant or anything.
Traditional and non-traditional.
Right. Traditional or non-traditional. So, try again. Right. Vegetarian or meat eating. Worldly or religious people. Thank you. Left or right? The left wing or the right wing? Legalistic or liberated. There you go. But that legalistic and liberated is kind of the whole... Isn't that mixed in with conservative and liberal? Isn't that kind of the same thing? Am I thinking right? Traditional or... Yeah. Maybe. Okay, so now on to verse 3. Paul is addressing both camps. liberal, conservative. Let's just traditional or liberated. Left wing, right wing. Paul is addressing both camps here. That's exciting to me. We're not exempt. It doesn't matter which camp you fall in, God wants to talk to you. Okay? Sit up, take note, and see what you can learn. So to the one that eateth, verse 3, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. What does it mean to despise? Any definition? What does it mean to despise?
To look down on or to, just treat with contempt.
Treat with contempt, to look down on. Anybody else?
Usually it includes a better than now attitude.
Better than now, like. Is that the right feeling? Is that the right attitude? What about the other one? And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. What's that? And let not him. Yeah, we're judging. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. So what's that attitude like? Judging. How do we? To me, it feels a little differently than the despising thing. It's different wording. Is it? I don't know. Is there any difference there? What do you think? Yes. Rejoicing in the other person's liberty. I'm not quite following that thought. Anybody else? Yes.
Judging often has the idea of condemnation with it.
Condemning, okay. Right. Right.
I think it's still like to make a distinction between mandatory judging and deserved judging.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So as you look at the other person to let it do a work in your own heart rather than trying to control that other person. Am I hearing you rightly? I had to wonder a little bit, like, okay, so he that eateth not. So he that eateth not. So he's down here and he's not eating and he thinks he's right before God. It almost feels to me like when he judges, he wants to try and bring that other person and bring him down to his, I don't know, maybe. To me, I just felt like the one is despising looking down, and the other one's looking up trying to yank him down. I don't know. I don't know if it fits, but it's something that I had thought about. Okay, let's move on to verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Okay. So who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Okay, so the weak brother, the one that don't eat, the one that's liberated, the one that's conservative, the one that doesn't eat, the one that's traditional. Whose servant is he?
The Lord's
servant. Okay, well, what about the one that does eat? Did I get it mixed up? Okay, good. Whew. The one that does eat. The liberated one. The liberal. The non-traditional. Are they the left wings or the right wings? I don't get them mixed up. They're the left wings, right? Yeah. Whose servant are they? The Lord's. Isn't that exciting, brothers and sisters? It doesn't matter which camp you're in. You're the Lord's. And God wants to work in you. But he wants you to work all together. Oh, that's getting ahead of myself. Okay. What's God's goal here? Whose servant are you? The Lord's. And what does he want you to do in this verse?
Not to judge his other servant.
Not to judge his other servant, but after that. He wants you to stand. He wants you to stand. We can't stand without God. And if we have our back towards Him, we ain't going nowhere. I mean, we can have all the right things, and we can have all the good liberation that we want, or we can have all the strict traditions that you want. And if you don't have God, you're not going to stand. Whose master is yours? I'm sorry. Who's your master? Is the fact that you're a liberal, is that your master? Is the fact that you're a conservative, is that your master? Who's your master? Who's going to make you stand? Who is the one in control? Verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So the one over here will think or can think that Christmas is just a heathen holiday. Over here, in this camp, person think that Christmas is a perfect good holiday. Is God in this camp over here more than He is in this camp over here? Why not? The answer was no. That's Eugene's thoughts. What about you over here? Whose master are you? Whether you're in this camp or in that camp, it feels like it. If you're in one camp, it sure feels like God is more present with you than over there. Doesn't it? If we're in the right camp, everything's just right. What does God want us to be? What is Paul beckoning us to do? Figure out what God really thinks about it. Okay.
Know His heart.
Anybody else? Nolan? So, God wants us to become His sons. Even though His Son was born under the law, yeah, He wants us to become the sons and daughters of Him. But I was thinking in verse 5, Paul gives us. And it feels pretty liberating. It feels pretty individualist, if I may use that word. That it's okay to be fully persuaded in your own mind. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Am I misunderstanding what Paul is saying? Help me out, brothers.
You know, I think that we should be, in that we should be teachable. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The example that you have there with
sure.
Christmas and non-Christmas, or yeah, Christmas celebrating it or not celebrating it, if it truly is, I'm not saying it is, but
sure.
If it's truly a heathen
right.
Practice, well then, you know, we could be fully persuaded in our mind and we could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Another example I would give would be like, you know, a woman that can wear a two-piece bathing suit and feel like, you know, she's modest or whatever, and not, you know, not care about what the scripture says about modesty.
Right.
And so that way, you know, maybe we can see a little bit differently that, you know, we can be fully persuaded in our own mind and be wrong.
Right.
But we need to find out what the Lord has to say. I think that's what, you know,
right.
said that. We need to see what the Lord really believes about something by through His Word, and not just from one verse.
Right. And that's a good balance. I really appreciate you're able to verbalize that. Mm-hmm. Right, right.
I want to stay away from that argument. I want to present Jesus to them. I want them to be able to deny. I want them to follow Jesus Christ. So, I think it's all right to be fully persuaded in your mind that your group is going to find right here the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not want to pass judgment on this group that are coming forward with Christ as in that type of background and coming to say, you know, Jesus Christ.
Right. Because if I'm hearing you right, they're coming towards Christ. Are we going towards Christ? With the way we relate to them. I'm so glad that we can't just take that, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And that's the end of the chapter. Because, to me, if we go the whole way to the end, we'll know how to deal with these things. And the things that we're fully persuaded of has nothing to do with salvation. Though I think that I don't eat meat, that's so important to me. Yes! It has nothing to do with getting you to God. But you are fully persuaded in your mind it does. And I am supposed to love you and care for you until you make it to the final end. That's exciting. That's good stuff. I'm so glad that God has it. God is good. And when He inspired Paul to write the Word, He made it fit all the way through. And you guys need to help me that I don't get stuck on verse 5. Let's move on. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, he eateth it to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not. And he giveth God thanks. So he's doing it as unto the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if you're doing something unto the Lord, I want to encourage you to do it. But like Steve said, be willing to learn. Be willing to humble yourself and learn the full knowledge of what the gospel is. But brothers and sisters, don't despise. And don't judge. Okay. God forbid that as these individuals are coming here and they don't have quite everything figured out, that we put something in their way and that makes them stumble. Getting ahead of myself. He that eateth to the Lord. And he that eateth not, doeth it unto the Lord. Is what you do. Let me challenge you with this. Is what you do as unto the Lord, or is it to fit in your camp? Is what you do as unto the Lord, or is it to fit in your camp? Do you want to be with the ones over here that are conservative and traditional, and you don't want to have anything to do with the liberals? Or are you doing it as unto the Lord? And you over here that want to fit in the liberal camp, have nothing to do with religion and tradition. You want to be free and liberated. Are you doing that as unto the Lord? Why do you do what you're doing? I think that's why we need to come back to be fully persuaded that what you're doing is for the edifying and the building up for the Lord. Any thoughts? Yes, Marcus.
I think it's difficult for people when they have a small mind frame like that to be able to help people that are on a different page. And so it hinders our witness to be that judgmental and that constantly wanting people to come into the camp instead of having pure thoughts of finding the next step for their life and asking God what that is and leading that. And I've often seen some people, when somebody's full of zeal and joy, we've got to be careful that we don't kill their motivation and their attitude and their with trying to line up all of their doctrine right away. None of our doctrine got lined up in one day. And I think it's the way to come across that. I have to be extremely careful.
Right.
And use wisdom. And Jesus was able to do that. He was able to take the different walks of life and somehow able to be perfect, but yet.
And lift up a high standard. And I'm not asking you to lower your standard, but I'm asking you to give grace to both camps.
I think the difference is in leading by inspiration more and than by condemnation.
And meeting the person with where they're at. My mind often goes back to me, myself, when I started attending Effort of Church. Okay, so I was a heathen, even though I had Mennonite background. I'd come to church and I don't know if you can imagine this. Maybe you can. Maybe you saw me there. But I'd come in my jeans and my jean jacket and my leather jacket and that's who I was. But if you would have, I don't know. I'm glad nobody said, "Boom, you're just whoa, worldly." I don't know. To me, They gave me the grace to grow. Not that where I'm at today is any better than where I was then. Because my heart was towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And today my heart's toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing. Is your heart towards the Lord Jesus Christ? Ought to be. What's keeping you from it? It's a good thing. Verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Brothers and sisters, ye were bought with a price. You are not your own. Who is your master? The camp that you're in, or the Lord's? Verse 8, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Who owns you? Are you your own person? Are you out to get your own thing, your own way? Or are you applying yourself to the Lord and His purposes? For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and the living. God wants to be the Lord over your life. God wants to be involved in the camp that you're in. God wants to continue to prosper you and make you grow and be fruitful and edify the saints. Any thoughts of those verses? Why did Jesus die? Verse 9. Why did Jesus die? That He be the Lord of the dead and the living. Okay? So the purpose of the Lord's death and resurrection is what? That He be Lord. And when He be Lord, you be His servant. And you do what He says. And you grow in grace. And you're guided by His Spirit when He be Lord. Verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we don't have to look down. We don't have to judge. Who is the Lord? Jesus is. And brothers and sisters, when we come before the throne, it ain't gonna matter. Okay? It ain't gonna matter whether you're on this camp or that camp. Is it? Are you with me, brothers and sisters? Is it gonna matter? Feels like it might. Are you sure?
Judges him.
Right, right. And so, God is going to make everything level, okay? To me, that's exciting. It's not about pulling this way or pulling that way or this camp or that camp. Who be Lord? This camp or that camp? Who be Lord? Jesus Christ. Why? Because He died and He rose again by the power of God. And He gives every... God has given Him the full authority to judge. Are you going to come under that lordship? Are you going to... Brothers and sisters, I know the battles that go on in hearts, okay? And can we just experience the peace of God? Lord, speak to your people. Do a work.
Seeing in all this is God wants us to fear Him and to love Him and serve Him in such a way that only God can give us that foretaste and bring us to that point in our lives where He brings us to that, and we have a close relationship.
And so, and that's a beautiful thing. So God can meet this man over in this camp that's just simply trusting in Him. I don't eat because I trust you, Lord. I eat because I trust you, Lord. It comes down to the heart. Where's your heart? Do you trust the Lord? Verse 11. I'm sorry. A few more things on verse 10. Brothers and sisters, you will be summoned to that judgment day. Okay? Be prepared for that. Don't... Doesn't matter which camp you will be in. You will be called to that day to bow your knee and say, "You are Lord." You get ready for that day, brothers and sisters. Jason, you get ready for that day. You have to give an account with everything that you did, whether it was unto the Lord or unto your camp. You will have to give an account. Verse 11, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Who is the Lord? He is the Lord. Who do we have to give an account to? The Lord. Who will be the judge? The Lord. Verse 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Whether you eat or whether you don't. Whether you're liberal or whether you're conservative. Whether you're the left wing or the right wing. You will have to give an account for your deeds. You. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Is there any thoughts before we move on? Probably. Right. And I think that's why Paul is really bringing it out. Let's watch how we treat both sides. Because that's what you're going to have to... That's the real issue here. Not so much whether it's meat or no meat. That's not really the thing. It's how we treat the other party. Yes, Marcus.
Two parties, like you said, but which one was doing the right thing in his response to the older brother was not right either, even though he had stopped it up.
Right. They both, at one point, had a heart that was not towards the father. But when the prodigal returned his heart again to the father, it revealed the heart of the one that was about me. Who be Lord? Me? My camp? My agenda? Who be Lord? Okay.
And then somewhere along the line, we got to the point where the common gets in the way sometimes. It's how we treat each other and also how we burn things to each other in kind ways. And sometimes that's what splits the conservative and the liberal, in that the conservative is so fond of doctrine, teaching, and they're going to push the pandemic because they saw people fall away and we don't want anybody falling away.
Right.
And I think we ought to be able to take the teaching of Jesus Christ, live by it, but still be kind of us.
Right.
We learn all that.
Right. And I think that's what Paul's trying to bring out here, as we can see further on in the chapter. It's about being as firm as a rock and full of grace. Being fully convinced in your own mind, but full of grace. Men, Do you find that it's hard to be gray? It's easier to just be black and white. That way I know where I'm at. That feels good, doesn't it? I like it. Does anybody else struggle with that? I'm comfortable here. I like it here. God wants to do a work through you for that side over there. Right? God wants to use you to influence this brother. God wants to use you here to influence the brother over here. Can we learn how to give grace one to another? Where are they at? Where are they at? Where are they going? What are they doing? Meet them with where they're at. So back to verse 12. So then everyone, I kind of lost where I was at. Verse 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So you have to give an account for your deeds. That should sober us. That should bring the Lordship to, should bring in your own heart who really is Lord here. Let's move on to verse 13. Let us therefore judge one another. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. What are our motives? When we discern something in another brother's life, what is our motive? What are we trying to do? What are we doing with our judgment to him? Are we putting something in front of him to make him stumble? I was grasping for a little bit of an illustration. What's the opposite? Okay, so here he's given an illustration of putting something that makes somebody stumble, right? Okay, so you picture with me a block here. And here comes my brother, and he's going down through, and something that I did caused him to stumble. What's the opposite of that? Any word pictures?
Removing the rocks, Isaiah talks about making the pathway straight and removing the stones out of the way so somebody can...
Getting the things out of the way so they can continue their walk towards the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Okay, so they're not fumbling around with my box. Okay, another illustration, yes. Can't move the mark, but hey, here's a rock, okay. Somebody else? Use it as a stepping stone, walk, okay. Good illustrations. Somebody else? Okay, an offended brother, okay.
Yeah, then
to, okay, so that's if a brother is already stumbled, offended, okay. I was thinking long before we get to a stumbling thing, what should we be, yes. So, and who's that responsibility to, making straight path for our feet? Who's that responsibility to? Whose responsibility is to make straight path for your feet?
Everybody's.
You're not exempt. It doesn't matter if you're here or there. Make straight paths for your feet, that the people around you aren't fumbling around. I'm 41. I wish I was more mature. I wish my feet were more on the Lord Jesus Christ. But I confess, I get into my little box sometimes. It feels good there. Making straight path for our feet. What about this, brothers and sisters? It's a secular thing. And I ask for grace. Who knows here about the red carpet? What's the red carpet mean? Putting out the red carpet. You with me? What does it mean, Steve?
Well, like showing honor to a dignitary or something like that.
Showing honor to a dignitary. Somebody that is maybe up here. Somebody that, you with me? How about this, brothers and sisters? Here comes my weak brother. Or here comes my liberal brother. Whatever. Here he comes. We put out the red carpet. And we honor that brother. And say, he loves the Lord Jesus. Oh yeah. He's a good man. I wonder how I can encourage him more. What will that do to a brother? If you honor him for his love for the Lord, is he perfect? No. Is he set in his box with eating meat? Yes. But he's headed there. And you honor that brother. And you prefer him. And you get behind him. Brothers and sisters, that's going to motivate me. I think it will you too. Now I have no desire to do like the secular thing and all that, but I do have a godly desire that we honor one another and that we prefer one another, because that's godly stuff. That's scripture. That's in here, brothers and sisters. That's real righteousness. Even though he's a little messy in his way of thinking. He's not messy. What am I saying? He's doing it as unto the Lord. Is he doing it differently than you would? Yes. But he's doing it as unto the Lord. Any thoughts? Yeah,
there is a place where there is a place to show the way more perfectly.
Priscilla and Aquila. But guess what did they do? What did they do? What did they do?
They didn't compromise.
They didn't compromise. They were firm in their thing. Yes, what did they do? Right. And to me, what they did, they didn't do that. And they didn't do that. They come around. See the different attitude? It's all in the way. It's all in our hearts. Isn't it? Yes.
They took him aside.
Not making a show of it. Not, man, you see he's eating meat. Brothers and sisters, if we get this, brothers and sisters, we'll have something good. If we can apply this scripture to our church life, brothers and sisters, we'll have something good. Does that excite you? Does that bring life to the vision of church life? It ought to. That's what Paul is trying to do. He doesn't want these two camps. God doesn't want these two camps. What does God want? I got to get to the end. Yeah, let's go. Let's jump down to 17. Boy, I don't know. I'm running out of time. There's a lot of stuff I thought I wanted to say. I think let's just get to the heart of the matter. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy of the Holy Ghost. What is the kingdom of God made up of? Righteousness, peace, and the joy of the Holy Ghost. What about the meat? What about my convictions? To me, Paul just makes it so plain. It's not about me not eating the meat. Right? Has nothing to do with that. Does it? You sure? Huh? It's about my brother. So it has nothing to do with about my meat. It has to do with... So where's peace? Where does peace get worked out? Relationships. That's the heart of the matters, brothers and sisters. Peace. Nothing. Nothing for the kingdom of God. Are individuals there? Yes. Are they following God? Yes. Nothing. Are there individuals there that love God? Yes. But the heart of the matter is that we have righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost. That is what really matters here. And it's not going to matter when you get to the end of the day and that you did or did not eat the meat. It's not going to matter if you thought very conservative or you thought liberal. Yes, I have my feelings about how people think in their liberal mind. I hope you can balance that out in your own mind, that I'm not talking about the liberal mind that is going away from God. Okay? When I say liberal, I'm not talking about the liberals that are going away from God. I want nothing to do with them. Neither do I want to have anything to do with the conservative that's going away from God. You with me? So when we're talking about conservative and liberal, both camps, both, the way Paul was laying this out, both individuals, both camps had their heart, they were doing it as unto the Lord. Are you with me? So, at the end of the day, this camp and this camp need to learn how to work together because they are working towards who? The Lord. Who be Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ. And because He be Lord, now you have to have hearts towards each other. And no longer this and this, but coming alongside and honoring and preferring one another. This is righteousness. This is the work of God. Okay, you want the will of God? This is one of them. Not your meat and not your drink. What really matters is your brother. Verse 18, "For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." What is he talking about here? For he that in these things serveth Christ. What is Paul referring to? That's what I... Is that what you get? I mean, that's what I came up with. Is that... Do you agree? That Paul is referring to he that in these things serveth Christ, peace, righteousness, and joy. He's accepted before God. Do you want that? I do. And you know what? I think both camps want that. They want to be accepted of God. And not only do they want to be accepted of God, they want to be approved of by men. And we can do it if we serve Christ in that way. Meat and drink, to me, are secondary. Righteousness and peace is primary, first. The things that bring contention into relationships should come after you have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? If you get them backed up, if it's about the contention rather than joy and peace and righteousness, if you get them mixed up, what's going to happen? There'll be division. There'll be fireworks. There'll be heat. There'll be emotion. Excitement, hurt, pain, sorrow, offenses. Brothers and sisters, my prayer. Wow. Bear with me as I sort through my thoughts. I typically don't have more content than I can put in my time slot. You know what? God is good. He'll take care of it. Get this, brothers and sisters. Who is the Lord in your life? Okay. Is the Lord Jesus your Lord? And if He is, serve Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Also, serve Him by loving your brother and being gracious to him and honoring him and preferring him and coming alongside and building him up wherever he's at in this journey. Thank you for this example, Jaron. Build him up. Okay. Let's build the body. Also, Paul really talks to the one that seems to be in the liberal camp. As you continue to read on down the chapter, he really seems to say, you know, if you enjoy your meat, lay it aside for the sake of the ones that aren't there. So, I don't know where you found yourself as you thought through this whole one camp or the other. In the end of the day, it ain't going to matter which camp you're in, because you're going to have to give an account to God. Serve the Lord. Love your brother. Build him up. Lay down your... Is that what you get, brothers and sisters? Do you get that Paul is asking the liberal-minded to lay down? Am I thinking right here? I know we didn't read the verse. Silence. What's on? Is it both? Yeah. Right. Conservative. Right. Liberal, yeah.
Find yourself in any one of those camps, you might want to turn around and look at Jesus. Lay those things aside.
Right.
That are stumbling you, and get back to
right.
Those things that are righteous and peace and joy and the Holy Ghost.
That's probably a good word. I, for some reason, as I was getting towards the end of my study, I felt like he's really pointing to those that are enjoying their meat and their drink. To me, which kind of falls in the liberal camp. More liberated, more free. Just the way I boxed it. See, yeah, but I think that's a good balance. Come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. May God add His blessings. I'm glad you guys let me preach to you. It's a good learning place for me. So, if things didn't quite flow, thanks for your grace. Let the Lord be Lord. Don't forget, you'll have to give an account for the deeds that you do. Love your brother. Honor him. Prefer him. With joy.
All right. Well, thank you, Jason. A lot of good thoughts for us to think about, and I kind of wish you hadn't ran out of time, but I would have been fine if you just kept going. It seemed like your conclusions there at the end, you know, it's just how we're to, what the Lord's really concerned about is how we work together you made a statement towards the end that says God doesn't want the two camps. You know, God doesn't want the two camps. And I believe that's true, that He doesn't want two camps in a local body like this. Just if you turn the page there in Romans or in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, and I know this is the one I've been harping on for a while, but now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So God doesn't want the two camps. He wants us to be perfectly joined together, same mind, same opinion, same judgment. And I also, chapter 15 here, it says, verse 1 and 2, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak and not to please ourselves. There's the thing there. We're to bear the infirmity of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. And so it's not about us. It's not about two camps, but it's about loving our brother and sister and being mindful of where they're at and being sensitive and So any other comments? Yes, Brother Mose.
In John 13:34, Jesus gives us a new commandment. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another."
Okay, thank you. Marcus.
John 17, that they may be one.
Okay, John 17, that they may be one. That's what Jesus prayed.
Yeah, and I was looking at John 16, that verse we all know, for God so loved the world. And it says, so God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. I was often wondering what that means. But then the Apostle Paul said the same thing, that the power that's given to us is for your edification, not for your destruction, for the building up and not for the tearing down. And I think there's some deep truths in that, where we're called to disciple and to build up. And sometimes, you know, Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that they chose darkness rather than light. But He Himself made Himself available to try and win people, to try and disciple them. And I just think that's really sweet. And I was in my garden working the other day trying to get the weeds out of the strawberries. And they had pretty solid roots, and the strawberry plants were tender and just really tender and small. I started pulling them, and the strawberry plants came along with it. And I'm like, this is not good. I need to let this be it. And sometimes we have to be careful that we don't uproot the tender plants and the tender things that have just started and just had a little fire, and that we don't just pull the big weed next to it and along come 3, 4, 5 plants. I think we just need to be very careful in that.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah, God didn't come, or Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. It says the next verse that because the world is condemned already. Because they love darkness rather than light. Okay, any other comments? All right, well, God bless you all. Thank you for coming today. Thank you, Jason, for laboring in the Word, and Jaron. It was good. I'm sure we have lots to think about, and even this afternoon as we fellowship, or as you're able to fellowship together, I'll be thinking about it as I'm driving. That talk about these things, or, you know, bounce it off your person that you're sitting next to at the table, and get around the table together as men and whatever, and discuss some of these things. I think that'd be good.